I'm excited to hear Dickness Maxson's testimony. Amen, somebody. Somebody put your hands together for the Lord, somebody. You see, that's enough reason for somebody to stay at home. I've emphasized this again and again. You see, the best place to be, the best place to go when you are sick is church. She had 100 reasons to stay home. Somebody will be having pain over the weekend. Devil says, you know what? Just stay home. You're going to walk tomorrow. But she fought her way through and got to church. Guess what? She's going home even now. Somebody put your hands together. That's how faith works when you hear something. You don't let the devil take it away from you. It doesn't mean you won't have pain. It doesn't mean you won't have challenge. But you can stand on the word. Healing is the children's bread. That's what the Bible says. I'm a child of God, so I refuse to let this thing stay. And guess what? The devil back up and back up permanently in the name of Jesus. So friends, let's learn to hear the word, apply it, actually. We're dealing with the same subject that we started with in the beginning of the month, the God who remembers and delivers. Last Sunday, we looked at the power in deliverance. Today, we're looking at the second part of it. The power in deliverance, in the covenant to deliver, the power in the covenant to deliver. So we looked at Genesis chapter number 17. So I want to dig in quickly. Hopefully I can cover a few more ground as we kick off. So the story of Abraham, you know very well. So here is the emphasis of that story. And I want to begin with point number one. Covenant revisited. Everybody say covenant revisited. So what I mean by that, of course, is that you realize that this is not the first time God was speaking to Abraham. Last Sunday, we read Genesis chapter 15. Those of you who are in church and those of you who listen online. Genesis chapter 15, God made covenant with Abraham. So here again, God is revisiting Abraham. Now, I was saying to people earlier on that it looked like you go to wake somebody up in the morning. I'm sure some of you have people like that at home. You wake them up and you expect them to get up and in the bathroom or somewhere. 30 minutes later, guess what? They are not out yet. So you still go back and you're waking them up. Now you're telling them, get out of bed. Tell somebody, get out of bed. Come on. Get out of bed. See, I'm up. I know you're out, but guess what? Get out of bed. Because until you get out and get in the shower, put on your clothes, you're not going anywhere. So that seems to be what's happening here. So there's been a covenant before God came back to Abraham to re-emphasize that. And the scripture says, at this time, it was when Abraham was 90 years old and 9. So that's actually just for this. So the man was 99 years old. So that's when God came again to visit. So I'm saying to your friends that God never comes too early and never comes too late. Okay, I'm waiting for one amen. God never comes too early and he never comes too late. God will show up in the right time for your situation. You see, God knew exactly what Abraham was looking for. Because you know, we've read so many other scriptures. Abraham was a rich man. You remember that? He had over 300 servants in his house. So the man had money, he had land, he had everything. But there was something he did not have. So when we're talking about God who delivers, we're not talking about you being in some precarious, dangerous situation and all of that stuff. And we're talking about God showing up to do what you cannot do for yourself. We're talking about God showing up to do what money cannot do for you. God showing up to do what people cannot do for you. I'm sure people loved Abraham. I'm sure he had the money to pay for every doctor, you know, if there was a Dr. White solution to it. But nobody had that solution. God has the solution. Whatever your situation is, God has a solution. Now stay with me. Say, God has a solution. Yes, he has the answer to your problem. Quickly now, as we look at this passage of scripture, let's see three things that I want to emphasize from Genesis chapter number 17, verse number 1 to 4. Number one, God thus accomplishes what he begins. Say with me, God accomplishes what he begins. That's your first plan. This is your writing down. Everything that God starts, God will finish. Whatever God has started in your life, you will finish it. I put it this way. God does not have abandoned projects. God does not have unfinished projects. Human beings, we run out of money, we run out of time, we run out of this, we run out of that, and as a result, we cannot finish. Sometimes we run out of interest. No, I'm no more interested in that thing. I started before, maybe started school. I was in school for 2 years. After that, I just went off. I'm sure some of you know people like that. You know, started this and that and then and just stop. God doesn't do that. Everything that God said, you will finish. So I'm saying to you, friends, whatever it is that you're believing or whatever you are, God will come back and God will take you from your level, wherever you are stuck in. God will help you to be unstuck and move you on in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I refuse to be stuck. Say it again, I refuse to be stuck. Number two, God does connect, okay? Does God connect with human time, but he operates outside it. God created time, God created the world, God created all the things, but God operates outside of it, which means he's able to control and fix it. God created man, created the body, and gave the body a certain amount of years to live. But in the midst of that, God can decide to come and say, you know what? I'm going to change it. Many of you have upgrades of so many of the things you're using. The phone you used to use, doesn't use iPhone. I don't have one, okay? But I'm not sure to give me one. The one I have is good. But what I'm saying is, they had iPhone 6, iPhone 7. What number are you guys using that? Huh? Is it 10 or 11? See what I mean? So they keep upgrading it. He said the person who created that doesn't live inside it. That's why he's able to make a better one. He's able to change it. He will say, well, iPhone 6 was not able to do this and this. I'm going to make iPhone 11. And it can do better than what iPhone 6 was able to do. Amen? So if man can do that, God can do better. So what I'm saying to you, friends, that wherever you are, whatever the conditions are, you cannot and should not be limited by those things. So we're talking about covenant, friends. Understand that the level of covenant relationship is better than every other kind of relationship. We spent some time on that last week. So it's critical that you understand that the covenant has provision. I'm going to get it in a minute. So you need to be able to reap the reward of what is in this relationship. God connects with human time, but God does not work or is not limited by time. Okay, you're 99 years old. Okay, we understand that. Doctor says it's over. Everybody says it's not possible anymore. You are too old. You are not too old for God to do a miracle. Let me somebody say, I'm not too old for God to do a miracle. Say it again, say it again. Say, I'm not too old for God to do a miracle. Number three, God does tailor his plans. He speaks specifically. God does not just throw his stuff around. He speaks specifically. So be careful and see how God says and how God does it. God is not just saying, I'm just going to bless you. Look at verse number four again quickly. He said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. That's number one. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. So it was not throwing words around. Let's move on quickly to point number two. Covenant specifies identity. Everybody say that with me? Covenant specifies identity. So God is not just talking to everybody, but God is talking to all. That's what is covered in verse number five and six. Quickly here are the three things I want to emphasize there. Number one, names have influence. Everybody say names have influence. So it is here again that God is able to change Abraham's name. So there are some things you need to change their name in your house. There are some conditions you need to change their name. You need to go back to them and say, from today, I am not calling you sickness anymore. I'm calling you health. You need to look at your child. I'm not calling you a disobedient child anymore. From today, you are an obedient child. You want to look at that situation and say, from today, you are not impossible for me. I change your name. Somebody's not talking. You need to change something's name now. You need to call it what you want it to be. What you believe God can do with it. No, that is not your name. This is your new name, God says. So as a child of God in a covenant relationship, you can look at certain things and say from today, on the authority of the name of Jesus, I call you by a new name. Every time he shows up,
you are jittering.
Every time he shows up, you are panicking. You say, from today, in the name of Jesus, you no longer scare me. You need to learn to take advantage of what the word says.
So don't just read the word
and just move on.
The word
is applicable to every situation that we're dealing with. What is in the Bible is meant for us. Remember, the Bible has two audiences. There's a primary audience and there's a prophetic audience. If the word of God does not apply to us, we have no business reading it. If it doesn't apply to us, whatever happens in the world can happen to us.
Just somebody change the name.
So the name has influence. Number two, never allow your age or your physical condition to determine your destiny. Never allow your age.
Oh, I am 100 years old. I am 82 years old. I am 92 years old. I am only 15.
No! God can do something with you.
I'm waiting for one amen.
I don't know what you're allowing to be an obstacle. For Abraham, it was age. God showed up before. Remember when God called that man, he was 75 years old. And God has waited all these years. Now the man is 99 years. Humanly speaking, somebody will say God came too late.
Tell me, but that's not true. Say louder.
No, God never comes late. God, where have you been all these years? I'm 90 years old.
Oh, no.
99 years old.
And God, just in case you forgot, Sarah is also 90 years old.
Don't allow your age
to dictate your destiny.
Your destiny will get to the place where God wanted to get to, not where the clock wanted to get to.
Amen, somebody.
So a believer in Christ who knows what a covenant relationship is, you must learn to move your eyes away from the natural onto the supernatural.
That's really what I'm saying.
Look at what the supernatural says instead of being limited by what the natural says.
Amen. Number three, see on that point of the covenant specifics now. Is new things happen by what God says, not by what your situation presents. The situation says you're 90 years old, 99 years old, 100 years old, you don't have papers, you don't have this qualification, you don't have this, you don't have that. That's what the situation says.
What you can get, where God wants to take you, is not determined by that. It's determined by the God who can speak life.
To those
that have no life. Bible says God appointed where Abraham started for faith and believed and speak to call those things that were dead as though they were not. To begin to speak to all age as though it is young.
Amen, somebody. Number three, quickly. Covenant makes provision. Everyone say covenant makes provisions. I love the fact that.
You see, this is where some of us get derailed a little bit.
Oh, I have to walk. I have to read. I have to do this. Now, don't get me wrong. I go to work. I read. I do all those things.
But if you determine by your action and your words that that's the only way to move ahead, then God will lead you to take care of it. Some things where I did not come to America to go to church, I came to America to make money.
Okay.
Make it all by yourself and become like the rich fool. Remember the story? He made all the money.
And then one day, God said, all right, who is that? You want to have your soul.
What do you want?
I want your life.
What? But I have this, but I have that. Can I write a checkpoint?
No.
Now, friends, don't get me wrong. Again, please, what I'm trying to say is that make God your priority. Covenant relationship makes provision for your physical needs as well. That's what I want you to get, that you must set God and put God first in your work, in your profession, and all of that, because God will be the one to advance you.
He just broke my heart, and I'm sure he did many of you.
This past few days on television, we heard the story of a 33-year-old Muay Thai millionaire, Sahin Farid, or whatever his name is. Remember the story? Some of you just heard it just now. Who lives in a condo or an apartment that he paid 2.something million for? In a matter of how many minutes? It was here, 1 year old. Not only killing, but dismember his family inside the apartment. He was breaking my heart. I prayed that that man was a believer. I just cried. I'm not saying because he was a believer, that's why it happened. I'm only saying to you how temporal work is. 33 years ago, multi-millionaire has many companies in Indonesia, they said, in Nigeria, and some other places. But in a matter of minutes, it's gone forever. It was 1 year old there. Just you how horrible the devil can be. Somebody who knew him, his personal assistant.
Somebody knew him, what for him?
Friends, let's pay attention here.
I say this with me. Say, covenant makes provision. Say it again. Say, covenant makes provision. Everything you need physically is in a covenant relationship. That's what I'm saying. Learn to harness it. Learn to make God part of your life, part of your daily work. You go out and come and you run from this to that and that to that and that to that. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. The second Lord watches over a city.
The watchman, the watcher. He's not saying don't walk, he didn't say don't be careful. But have your priority in the right order. Look at the provisions. Look at the provisions quickly. See if we can cover this. We're in verse number 7. I just love what the scripture says. Verse number 7, Genesis chapter 17. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Can you see that? So what I'm giving you is not going to end with you. Your generations after will enjoy. And many of you know that that is a fact up to today where we stand. Take the Jews out of the economy of America, the place collapsed. Take the money of the Jews out of many of the nations of the world. They drown.
How did that happen?
Because God said it. They are few, they're not in millions. But guess what? They are powerful. Look at all the major companies, just the people behind them, the Jewish people. Because God said it. I mean, that's enough for anybody to believe that the Bible is true, because you can see it every day. Things that the Jews are behind, things that they support, many nations will mess with it. Because they know they mess with it. They pull their money, they're in trouble. Look at the technical world, all these new technologies and all of that. Just do your research. Look at the people behind most of them. Jewish people. Because God said it, and that's what you're here. And that's the kind of place you're coming into. That's the kind of relationship you're coming into. Because God says for him and for generations, and spiritually speaking, the Bible says for children of Abraham. So you can tap into that. Jesus brought you into it. So God does not bring us into poverty, into needing, neediness, and all of that stuff. It is bad teaching, bad theology that tells us that. But we must make God number one. Amen, somebody. Okay, let me hear you louder. I said, make God number one. Let me cover the 3 points quickly there so we can move on. Number one, relationships are a priority in covenant. Everybody say relationship. Say it again, say it again, say relationship. Relationship are a priority. This is what I'm saying. And I told you last Sunday that relationship is one of the major differences between a covenant and a promise. Remember? That covenant defines relationship. So when you put your relationship in the order that God wants it to be, in the covenant relationship, you begin to get and operate at that level. It is in the covenant relationship in the New Testament that we have the covenant of the blood. That in the New Testament, the covenant is also called a will. Remember? That's last Sunday sermon. So the point is that we now have access to what we did not have access to before because of relationship. So I beg of you, my friends, make your relationship a priority. Make your relationship with God a priority. It's so critical. That's how we grow. That's how we have good testimonies. That's how we can go out there and be influenced towards us. Number two. Increase comes first from God, then it is placed in a place of his choice. Everybody say increase will come first from God. See, the Bible says promotion comes not from the east, not from the west,
but from where? From
God. You're looking for promotion, said God.
Pastor, what do you mean? I just said it. Go turn the eyes and the hearts of those people who don't like you. Say, we don't know why, but I think this lady will give her promotion. I think this man here will put it here. And everybody's looking like, but, it's not but.
God opens a door, and no man can say no. Amen, somebody. So let's learn that increase will come from God. He will place it in a physical place for you to harness and harvest for making your number one. Number two, settlement is a component of God's blessing. Everybody says settlement. Say it again, settlement. What I mean is, God does not want you to be in today and out tomorrow. Up today and down tomorrow. God wants to settle you. And I declare you shall be settled in the name of Jesus. No, all those agitations, all those anxieties, all those worries, all those pains. God wants to speak to them and put them to rest once and for all.
Somebody say, I'm settled. Come on, say it with confidence. Say, I'm settled. Say one more time, say, I'm settled.
I refuse to be distracted and distracted by the devil. So in a covenant relationship, he brought Abraham to a place of settlement. What was his cry? What was his yearning? No child. And God came and settled it once and for all. And I've been saying to you, friends, I don't know what your cry is. I don't know what the yearning of your heart is. You need to learn to be like Abraham. You need to learn to be like a woman in Luke 18. You need to learn to be an importunate person. Like, what's his name? The mother of Samuel. The woman praying, honor, that will pray, and they will think she's drunk. And say, I'm not drunk, but I'm praying. I want a child. And the heavens open for a man and a woman who knows what their rights are and refuses to give up. And I say, embrace God and he will not abandon your future. Say it again. Say, embrace God and he will not abandon your future. No, he will not abandon your future. He will not. I say, God will serve. So I want you to understand, friends, that as you deal with covenant, we need to understand the power of it to deliver, to change our story. But if we don't follow what he says, we don't get the outcome. I'm not going to be able to get to the rest of the points that I'm going to pick up from there next Sunday. So the point for today, really, for me not to finish, you know, that's not the thing. I don't want to rush through it. But I want you to be able to apply what you're learning. Covenant relationship is the strongest, most dependable kind of relationship you can find anywhere. And that's the relationship that God wants to have with us. So God yearns for it.
Can you imagine God yearning for a relationship with men? God seeks to come with us to bring us to that place. He said, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land where thou art a stranger, or the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. That is number 8. So we're talking about covenant makes provision. What are you looking for? What are you yearning for? You will run around and leave God out. Amen, somebody. Nobody will say what God said. I wish you can understand. Look at the depth of that thing. Those people are already in the land. Are you looking at it? Okay. You're not talking a minute. We're going to pray. But do you understand it? Okay. Read it with me. Everybody, let's read. He said, I will give to you and to your seed after you the land where you are a stranger. First, you understand that part, right? You don't deserve to be here. You don't qualify. You don't have the papers. You don't have anything. That's what it says. Okay? He said, but I'm going to give it to you. Now, I said that was not mind-blowing enough. He now said, all the land of Canaan. Stop right there. The Canaanites were already living there. Do you understand? I wish you could. Yes. Do you understand? It was not an empty land. You don't qualify for it, but I'm going to give it to you. You don't have what it takes to get it, but I'm going to give it to you. Or just in case you don't get it, it's not vacant. But I'll give it to you anyway. I wish somebody understand. Not a visitor, but I'm going to give it to you as an everlasting possession. For tomorrow, nobody's going to be able to come and say, well, time is up, you need to move. That's why, friends, no matter what anybody does, nobody's going to move. They want to move Israel. Did you hear me? No matter what anybody does, nobody's going to move that nation. They can't. God said, I'm going to give it to you for an everlasting possession. Do you want God to set you? I want you to stand. Okay, let's pray together. I want you to renew your covenant with Him. You see, this is where your provisions are. He will bless the work of your hand. That's what the Bible says. He will keep you in your covenant and coming in. Just making first, giving the priority that He deserves. Place Him at the highest place, like one of those songs that we sing. For He is the great high priest. If you make Him the number one, everything else will fall in place. So the covenant relationship, friends, positions you even for earthly possessions. It is bad religious teaching, bad scripture teaching. That tells us that we cannot be rich and wealthy. It is a lie of the devil. It's not in the scripture. But the word of God just says, don't make that your goal. Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Is that right? And His righteousness. And what did He say? No, it's not there. He said, it will be addition. I believe in God. Very soon you'll be hearing awesome testimonies. Things are coming and you will hear and you go, really? I knew Him. Yeah. But now He's in a place where He's enjoying the reward of the covenant. Friends, you want to get there by beginning to renew and reestablish and restrengthen and fortify, which is what I'm looking for, your relationship. Put your right hand in the chest as you pray, good prayer. I don't know what you're looking for, but I want to start in a place of renewing my relationship with Him. When you reposition yourself in relationship, then everything that you have a right to cannot be denied you. So talk to God quickly as we round up today. Go ahead, talk to God. Lord, I'm submitting my heart and rededicating my life to you.
He says, walk before me. That's what he said, Lord. Walk before me. Walk before me. Walk before me. That's number one. Walk before me. That's what it says. Everything else follows after that. God, I want to walk before you. I want to walk with you. Go ahead, talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. I refuse distractions. I refuse discouragement. Everything that wants to set me back in my walk with you, in the name of Jesus, I reject it. I'm reestablishing my relationship, my covenant relationship with you. I know that covenant has everything I need. Go ahead, talk to God, talk to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're praying. Refuse this lackadaisic relationship. I refuse to put more effort in the things of the world than I'm putting in the things of God. I come against spiritual laziness. In the name of Jesus, I break every yoke and every chain of the devil over my life and over my family. When we take God and make God number one from henceforth, because everything we need is in God. Somebody praying. Break it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. We magnify and glorify you. In the name of the Father. In the name of the Son. In the name of the precious Holy Spirit. Lord, I speak over your people. For those who are in church and those who are online, wherever they are. Lord God of heaven, thank you. For the revelations in your word. Thank you for all that covenant embodies for us. Lord, and as we hear your word, we will go forth and our knowledge is increasing. We'll go forth, Lord God, and our understanding, Lord God Almighty, will increase. And by reason of understanding, we'll begin to build our faith. And by reason of faith, Lord God, we'll begin to apply that which we're learning. Then we shall begin to see results, positive results, to the honor and the glory of your mighty name. Lord, I thank you and I bless your name. I declare that if there's anyone online, Lord God, that the enemy is holding in a precarious position, whatever that is, on the authority of the word of God, I declare those chains broken. I declare those situations supernatural turn around. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you spoke to Abraham. A year later, he was the father of Isaac. I speak to your people today that henceforth, those things that were deemed impossible shall become possible. Those doors that were deemed closed, I declare them open. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. You believe, shout aloud, amen. Come on, shout aloud, amen. Hallelujah.